peace. Everyone is looking for it, but the only place you'll find true and lasting peace is right here in God's Word. Join us as we go back to God's Word on this edition of Abounding Grace with our teacher and pastor, Chris Gordon. Welcome to Abounding Grace, the ministry of United Reformed Church here in Linden. And indeed, it is abounding grace that we seek and find here in God's Word. We would invite you to join us for the next few minutes as our teacher and pastor, Chris Gordon, brings us back to God's Word that we might find that peace, that encouragement for the day, that challenge to follow hard after Christ. For this edition of Abounding Grace now, here's Pastor Chris Gordon.
In 2 Timothy chapter 4, the Apostle Paul is ready to die. He writes in verse 6, "For I am being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure is at hand. I fought the good fight, I've finished the race, I've kept the faith. Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day, and not only to me, but also to all who have loved his appearing." You know, that's a huge statement. He's ready. He's ready to die. He knows the time is at hand. He's run the race well. What's his concern? What's his number one concern before he dies as a minister of the gospel? Well, just in the verses preceding that, he gives a great charge to Timothy. And the charge is preach the word, be ready. In season, out of season, convince, rebuke, exhort, with all long-suffering and teaching, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn away their ears from the truth, and be turned aside to fables. His concern, really, as he approaches his deathbed, is that the gospel would go forth. But as he saw death approaching, it was obvious that it greatly concerned him that men would be faithfully trained up who would continue this great task of preaching the word. And here he is, passing the baton on, if you will, to a young pastor named Timothy, a protege in the faith. But he's writing to encourage him in the furtherance of what Paul has labored for and willingly given his life for, denying himself all of his life. We know that Timothy was his student, one who Paul considered his own son in the faith. Timothy had traveled with Paul on his second missionary journey and was a great help to him in the ministry. But Timothy must have had some concerns that obviously, some limitations that obviously concerned the Apostle Paul. Timothy was young for the ministry. He had to tell Timothy to let no one despise his youth. Timothy struggled with a weak stomach, so he told him to take wine for his stomach. Paul had to exhort him to flee from youthful lusts. But most of all, Paul's concern was that Timothy would correct the false doctrine that surrounded him and that he would fight for the truth of the word of God by proclaiming it faithfully. Timothy was assigned the great task of leading the church at Ephesus out of sin and false doctrine. If you remember, Ephesus was that great pagan metropolis, and as a port city, it was known for its fertility cults and temple prostitutes. It was really a wicked, wicked place. Interestingly, Ephesus was one of the greatest wonders of the ancient world, especially with this grand and large temple to their goddess Diana. It was the very place that Paul was almost martyred for the great riot that took place in Acts 19 as he was accused as he preached Christ for taking their prophets as they made shrines of the goddess Diana. And so Timothy, with this great task in Ephesus, simply put, had a lot of pressure on him because the gospel wasn't so appealing to the pagan culture around him. The question that plagued the Ephesian church, and we looked at this yesterday, and the mind of every Christian in the city were things like this. How is our church going to be able to survive in this overwhelmingly pagan, hostile culture? How can our little, weak, marginalized church possibly in any way make the slightest dent in this overwhelmingly anti-Christian city? How can we as a church be effective in this kind of environment? Paul knows this city well. And reading through his letters to Timothy, he's concerned about this young pastor that compromise just might take place. We know from Revelation 2 that the church at Ephesus had left its first love. And in the midst of this pagan culture, with all of the great innovations around them that surrounded the church, the gospel and the word preached just wasn't that exciting to them. I mean, we're really mistaken about the ancient world. They were great with theater. They were great with drama. They had movies in that day. They were live, of course, but this was an artsy, innovative culture, just like ours. And so there was great pressure for the people of God to make the church more like the culture, to make the church more like the world. In fact, this is the very thing that Paul chided the Corinthians for. This is not just to Timothy. And Paul says in 1 Corinthians 2, "And brethren, when I came to you, I did not come with excellence of speech or of wisdom, declaring to you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. I was with you in weakness, in fear, and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God." And you hear that there. They had all this great oratory skill, Cicero and all these things in this culture, oratories, and standing up and giving long orations was just prized in this culture. And Paul says, look, I didn't come with all those techniques. You put it this way, I didn't have to show a movie clip during the middle of the service to capture your attention. I didn't have to do a drama to capture your attention. Look, I didn't come to you like that. I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. As a matter of fact, he says, I came in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech was not with persuasive words. I did not have to drum it up and make it exciting for you. Look, because I didn't want your faith to be in what? The wisdom of men, but in the power of God. See, this is the fundamental difference. And that's just what Paul's dealing with in 2 Timothy 4, because right before his death, he gives the most profound exhortation and yet the most sobering warning that the church in our day is so commanded to hear. Verse 1, "I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom, preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season." You see, Paul had to remind Timothy of what this is all about. He, as a minister, had also been entrusted with the very stewardship that God had given to him, because it's God's ministry and it's God's house. He answered only to God in how he used this stewardship, not to men. Paul is reminding Timothy that the message was God's message and not Timothy's, and it's God who will judge, and he's accountable to God for his ministry. And so Paul commands him to be faithful to the most important task that he has as a minister of Christ: preach the word in season and out of season. That is his calling. Preach. Keep your head down, Timothy, in the word, and preach. Preach, preach, preach. It's funny that we often hear today, "Don't preach to me." You know, this is an attack of the devil. Preaching is God's design for his church. The authoritative proclamation of the gospel, as sinners are to sit under the word. This is God's command to Timothy. You see, with all the pressure on Timothy, Paul's reminding him of his task. There must have been great temptation on Timothy's part to soften the preaching of the word, that he might draw in some of the pagan culture into the church, right? I mean, in a culture of this type, that concern is legitimate. We hear this all the time. We got to get them in. And so we want to look so much like the world to get them in. But God is reminding him that his call for Timothy is to preach the word faithfully. God will worry about the results. Maybe Timothy was feeling a little ashamed of the gospel, for Paul had to remind him to stand up for the faith with boldness, even if it meant what? Suffering. So when you preach the word faithfully, you can expect suffering. In fact, in 1:8, Paul speaks to Timothy in 2 Timothy, "Do not be ashamed of the gospel of our Lord, but join with me in the suffering for the gospel." Suffering? I mean, who suffers today for preaching the gospel? And the reason people aren't suffering for preaching the gospel, because the message is of no offense. That's what it comes down to. The word of God, my friends, is not popular to the world. The message that is required to be preached is offensive. Christ was a stumbling block and a rock of offense, 1 Peter 2. The message is foolishness to the world, 1 Corinthians 1. Let's be honest, confronting sin, calling people to repentance and change of their wicked lifestyles doesn't sit well with people. That's not appealing. I mean, Jesus said, men do not come to the light, they hate the light, and they do not come. Why? Lest their deeds should be exposed. They don't want to have what's going on in their lives exposed. But God is calling us to do that so that sinners will see the need for a gospel, a good news, to be rescued from that. But you don't get to good news without exposing bad. It's not appealing. The church's task, though, is to just simply remain faithful to preaching the word, even when it's not popular, and that will produce suffering. That's why Paul tells Timothy in verse 2 to correct, to rebuke, to encourage. You know, let's stop there. Rebuke? Preaching has a rebuking element? You know, today there's just this common mentality that we don't want to correct anything from the pulpit lest we offend people. You know, if I were a teacher, I was a teacher. If little Johnny in class was acting up, am I not going to address Johnny and say, Johnny, stop it? Of course I am. Preaching is called to correct and rebuke, correct sin. The church's task is to remain faithful in that. The Word of God says we're filthy, rotten sinners and vipers. That's not exciting for our egos, is it? But God's Word says that we are so sinful, we are in desperate need of somebody else to save us. That doesn't go over well with the world, does it? But that's what we are called to do. To preach our sin so that sinners see a need for Christ and then show them the beautiful way that God has provided in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's what we're called to do. Woe is me if I do not preach the gospel. I am convinced, my friends, we do what God commands and we will see genuine change in the hearts of sinners.
Exercising our minds, hearts, and affections towards Christ. This has been Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon from United Reformed Church here in Linden, studying God's Word that we might show ourselves approved. Thank you for joining us. As always, we leave you with our address and phone number if you'd like to contact us. Maybe you have a question, comment about the broadcast. Maybe you'd like to join us for worship or a prayer request. Again, you can reach us at 360-318-0429. Again, that phone number is 360-318-0429. If you'd like to know more about us, you can visit our website. A lot of information there, lindenurc.com. Again, that's lindenurc.com. As always, you're welcome to write, 8650 Benson Road, Linden, Washington. The zip code is 98264. And again, that phone number, 360-318-0429. That's 360-318-0429. If you're planning a visit, we would love to see you. In fact, let one of the ushers know you're invited by the radio broadcast, won't you? That would encourage us a great deal. Sunday services are at 10 a.m. and again at 7 p.m. We're at 8650 Benson Road here in Linden. For the directions, you can either go to our website, lindenurc.com, or call us, 360-318-0429. Again, 360-318-0429. Our desire here at Abounding Grace is that you grow in Christ. If there's anything we can do to help you in that endeavor, please feel free to contact us. And then join us again next time for another broadcast of Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon.